This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
While the United States competes in the world economy, individual states compete among themselves. And some do better than others when it comes to state policies that promote economic growth and development. Jonathan Williams is Executive Vice President and Chief Economist at the American Legislative Exchange Council. He is co-author of the annual Rich States, Poor States Report with Art Laufer and Stephen Moore. He is here to talk about the latest ranking of the 50 states. Jonathan, we've had you on each year as the Rich States, Poor States Report has been issued. But for those in our audience who may not be familiar, tell us what the Rich States, Poor States Report is all about.
Well, thanks, Loman, for having me back as always, and greetings from the land of make-believe here in Washington, D.C. We put together the Rich States, Poor States report really as a barometer that state policymakers and concerned taxpayers across the country can use in order to measure their state's economic competitiveness versus the other 49, basing that the idea that we have these 50 laboratories of democracy. We know that states are always in competition with each other for jobs and for new population growth and new economic growth. And so Art Laufer and Steve Moore and I put together this now 13 years ago as a way to look at the tax policy and the regulation and the labor policy and the things that we know matter for economic growth, and distill that down into a ranking that's easy to use for things that state lawmakers and state capitals across the country can easily change year over year to make themselves more competitive.
Taking a look then at these rankings, Jonathan, what sort of factors go into developing the overall ranking? What policy areas do you look at?
So we focus it on really economic policy generally, but a focus on tax policy, because we know that the higher the taxes, it's really putting a price on work and savings and investment in that state relative to another state. We look at regulations, oftentimes neglected, but often very, very important, obviously, for business investment decisions. And we look at labor policy. So if you were to look at the things that we know matter for economic growth, we know that state legislators can control these things versus a lot of these other rankings of states that we see out there from things that state lawmakers wish they could control, like weather and quality of life and things like that. These are variables that can make a difference and make a break or state when it comes to economic growth. And they're also things that are within the grasp of policymakers. So these are important variables, things that are debated every single year. And it's really all about states being competitive with each other and how to be best positioned to recover now from this pandemic.
And so let's take a look at these rankings. Which states came in at the top of your rankings this year, the top five or six states? And what are they doing that makes them so successful, Jonathan?
A lot of interesting stories to unpack out of the top five states. Number five, North Carolina, Indiana, Idaho, Wyoming, and then Utah at number one. And these states are very competitive states. They've been reducing tax rates in order to attract business and individual taxpayers. They've been very successful in those measures. Indiana and North Carolina were two states that have really made huge strides over these 13 years, moving up to the top five from middle of the pack because of real economic policy reforms like right to work in Indiana and really historic tax reform in North Carolina. You know, Idaho and Wyoming are states that have been competitive for a while. Wyoming is one of two states in America that taxes neither personal or corporate income, has a 0% price of work in those areas. And then Utah has been at number one for all 13 editions of our report, Loman. And there's lots of interesting stories to unpack there. But they've tackled pension reform, something that you and I have talked about many times, that states like Illinois and others are resistant to tackle. And now they're asking for a federal bailout of states because they haven't handled their own problems well. Utah has been ahead of that curve. And they've also done something that is elected officials think about reelection this year. They're going to doors. One of the things they always hear about the most are property taxes. And why are my property tax burdens so high? Utah has, I think, really figured out the innovative way to tackle that through their truth in taxation law. And so Utah has, I think, been a really good example for how free market reforms can help make a state prosperous. And Utah has all the results to prove it. This isn't just some economic empty model. The results are there. Utah has been leading the way when it comes to GDP growth. In-migration has been great. And unemployment, the lowest unemployment rate in America, belongs to the number one state in rich states, poor states, Utah.
And, of course, there are always those four or five states that dwell in the cellar, and they haven't changed a whole lot over the years, have they?
Unsurprisingly, no. And these are really important examples because they tell us what not to do when it comes to policymaking. And many of these have been at the bottom, as you mentioned, for many, many years. California, highest income taxes in America at 13.3%. You may have seen some of the recent proposals that would even raise those taxes further or institute a state-level wealth tax, as some left-wing elected officials in California have discussed. Illinois is referenced with their massive debt and unfunded liability problems. New Jersey, Vermont, Bernie Sanders, Vermont, and 50th out of 50 almost every year in this report, New York, with the massive out-migration of well over a million Americans voting with their feet outside of New York. And these, unfortunately, are states that have also been lining up asking for a federal bailout because they have not handled their own finances in a responsible way. They're asking for taxpayers in the rest of America to pick up the tab and pay for their mistakes that they've made now for well more than a decade.
In terms of that out-migration that you referenced in New York, was this study conducted before the coronavirus pandemic? Because we've seen the number of people packing up the U-Haul and moving out of New York City in particular really escalate in recent months.
Excellent point. And the answer to that is all of our data comes as of January 1st of 2020. And so none of the coronavirus and pandemic and government shutdown responses have been measured yet in this out-migration data. And so if anything, we know the numbers were stark and the out-migration was massive in places like New York and California and Illinois prior to coronavirus. But I think, as you point out, those numbers will absolutely enhance and just out of the cities as we've seen this new kind of future of work. So many people going remote. So many people may never go back to the office as they once did in places like high-cost New York or San Francisco. I expect these numbers to absolutely enhance the out-migration from these high-tax states moving forward.
In terms now of movement, either up or down, Jonathan, any particular states stand out this time around?
Well, there was a couple of really interesting stories here, and one was Wyoming that moved all the way up to number two. We referenced them a little bit earlier, a state that's always been pretty competitive, but this is their best ranking ever in 13 years in our Rich States, Poor States report.
We have been talking with Jonathan Williams. Jonathan is Executive Vice President and Chief Economist at the American Legislative Exchange Council. We've been talking about the 13th annual Rich States, Poor States report. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about ALEC and also where can folks go to read the report?
Well, ALEC has been around now for nearly 50 years as really the nation's largest voluntary membership organization of state legislators. And we revolve around really three principles, free markets, limited government, and federalism. And our website, ALEC.org, is an amazing resource, not just with this report, but so many others across the economic policy area. I also invite your listeners to go to richstatespoorstates.org.
Jonathan Williams from the American Legislative Exchange Council, co-author of Rich States, Poor States. Jonathan, thank you as always for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me as always, my friend. Keep up the good work.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.